Good morning, everyone. It's 9 o'clock, and I call the meeting of the ad hoc TMCC President Search Committee meeting to order. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Joe, would you please join us or lead us? Where's the flag? Oh, it's over there.
Be my honor. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, everybody, please be seated. I know the weather's been really dicey up here. I'm glad to be here. I didn't think I'd even get out of Las Vegas. But if you came in kind of late, just feel free to quietly get up and get some nice refreshments. TMCC is really feeding us well, so please take advantage of that. We'll do roll call. And so with that, I would ask Angela Palmer to do our roll call, please.
Chair Doug Carr.
I'm here.
Regent Arrascada.
Here.
Regent Brooks.
Here.
Regent Brown.
Here.
Regent Downs.
Here.
Okay, we do have a quorum.
Yes. Mr. Adams.
Here.
Ms. Allen. Ms. Andriola. Ms. Thetre. Dr. Doe. Mr. Duarte. Ms. Elliott.
Present.
Dr. Ellsworth Baker.
Here.
Mr. Estepona.
Here.
Sorry. Mr. Hughes.
Present.
Ms. Lavario Gutierrez.
I'm here.
Mr. Madol. Mr. Martinez.
Here.
Mr. Meiser.
Here.
Mr. New. Ms. Ortho Clark.
Here.
Ms. Reynosa Gomez. Dr. Ruff.
Here.
Ms. Studebaker.
Here.
Okay, in addition to the ad hoc TMCC President Search Committee, this meeting is noticed as a meeting of the Board of Regents to allow other regents who may wish to attend to participate. And Angela, do we have other regents on? I see our chair, Amy Carvalho, and I see Regent Boylan. Is there anyone else? Well, Brooks is part of the committee, and he's in Vegas. His flight, I think, was iffy yesterday.
No, not right now.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. And with that, we'll go to the land acknowledgement. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, the Washo, the Numu, the Northern Paiute, the Nui, the Western Shoshone, and the Nuwu, the Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Okay, and with that, we go to public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID number 933-5568-7402 and PASCO, this is easy, 555-555. So is there any public comment here at TMCC? Okay, nobody rushed to the microphone, so I'm seeing none. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, and I think that's all the public comment for our locations. So with that, we'll go to item number 2. Which is the approval of the minutes. This is an action item, so I'll look for a motion for approval.
Motion.
Thank you, Regent Arrascada. Do I have a second? Thank you, Regent Brown, and is there any discussion from any of the committee members? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motions as written for approval?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you. And with that, we go to item number 3, the presidential search process. This is an information-only item, and we will go to our search consultants, Julie Golder and Deborah DeThomas. They're going to lead our discussion on the process that we've taken so far. And I have to say they've just been a delight to work with, and they are really quick. When we've gotten things done, I couldn't believe how quickly you had the surveys turned around, and it's been great. And with that, I'll turn this over to you guys.
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo, members of the Regent Committee, and all members of the advisory. We are honored to be working with you throughout this critical process. We are available to you at any point, and we want to give you a quick summary of what led us to this meeting today. Setting an inclusive and participatory process has been a foundation of moving this forward. Mid-January, a survey went out college-wide. Everyone had an opportunity to share their input on opportunities, on challenges, on characteristics. We received over 40 responses, received 43. All of that started the foundation of the draft leadership profile. Then last week, on Tuesday the 28th, there were 3 open public forums, and everyone was invited to attend. There was one at 9 a.m., one at noon, and one at 4 p.m. The 2 earlier sessions had about 35 attendees. The later one was a little smaller with about 10 participants. And they were really listening sessions. The conversations were really candid and insightful and continued to inform the development of the draft leadership profile. So Debbie and I worked to take all of that input to see what were the themes, what were we hearing the most, what were people emphatic about. And that led to the draft profile that we're going to get to on item number 4. But I just wanted to give you a foundation of what has taken place thus far, which led us to this point in the process today. I'm going to have Debbie go over the ground rules, which also helps lay the foundation for our work together.
Thank you. I echo that we're excited to be here to help with this and had a great day here last week with the staff, and left thinking, staff, faculty, administration, left thinking this is going to be a really nice job for someone. So everybody was wonderful, and we appreciate that. So what we wanted to talk with you about, and it's in your handouts for the meeting, is that there are certain things that we ask the search committees that we work with to follow. And the first one of these is to listen deeply to each other and to the candidates when they are when you are interviewing. Try to have an open mind and ask questions if you don't understand something, so that everybody leaves with the same understanding. And then the next thing is that you have a commitment to student success and diversity at this college, and that needs to carry through the search, so you hold the responsibility to further the values of this college as we do this work. And then reference checking, what we'd like to have everyone agree to is that's the responsibility of ACCT. We will do the reference checking. We, our staff and ourselves, we do. The ACCT does a very thorough job. The beauty of ACC doing it is that we can hear both sides of every issue. I like to tell search committees that it's difficult to get to the level of being a president or applying for a presidency and not have had some controversy. Sometimes when you've had to say no to someone. So there have been issues that have almost every professional at this level has dealt with, and And it's our responsibility to make sure that we present to the final decision makers the full story. And that's what we do through the reference checking. So we ask that you not do any reference checking. Let us do that and let us present it to the Board of Regents. Communication, all communication about the search should take place at the search committee meeting. No sidebar conversations. We all should hear what everyone else is thinking, so we ask that you respect that. For the decisions that you do make as a committee, the recommendations that you send forward to the Board of Regents, we ask that you remember that it's a shared process and that you really focus when you are assessing the candidates on fairly assessing them. And we ask that you know what your unconscious biases are and make sure that you do everything you can do to mitigate those so that they don't enter into the selection process of the candidates. And then for the thoughtfulness, you can see that we said, and from everything we've seen, this is one that we probably don't even need to say out loud here because it seems like you have a spirit of respect for each other and you listen to each other in our dealings with the college and with the board. But we do ask that you honor the integrity of the search process and that you demonstrate respect for everyone and for everyone's opinions. Everyone has come different pathways to get to where you are, and all of you bring value, and that's why you're here at this table. And then collaboration. This is a collaborative approach. We ask that you monitor yourselves and not dominate the conversations when we have the conversations, but be sure that you do speak up and ask the questions that you need to ask or make the comments that you need to ask, and everyone to honor each other's comments. Julie, do you want to add anything?
That was excellent, Debbie. I wanted to just underscore one point. The reference process, the vetting, the deep digging that we do at the appropriate time when we have a release form allowing us to do so is a critical step. And that doesn't mean that you won't have concerns or have heard something or want something explored. And that could be done by reaching out to us, and we will be sure that your voice is taken into consideration, but it is an ACCT process.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions of the methodology or the process so far? And I just want to add a few things, too, because I think some people did leave wondering last time if we were really doing a national search, and I want to be emphatic that this is a national search. And we started this process. It's very open. It's very transparent. Our chair, who's on he's on Zoom. You can see Chair Amy Carvalho there, and Vice Chair is Jeff Downs, and he's on Zoom. He's on the committee. They came to this campus and did sessions to see what you wanted. Did you want an acting? Did you want an interim? Did you want a national search or not a national search? And resoundingly, you wanted a national search. So Amy brought the report back to the full board, and the board voted to have a national search. So any talk of anything different is not going to happen without us going back to the full board to change that, and that's not going to happen because we are on a timeline and we have an announced president who's got a retirement date that she's looking forward to, and so we're staying on this course. Now, I do want to comment, too, that there was talk about some merger. Well, at this point, there is no merger because that also has to be done by the full board. Should we talk about that stuff going forward? Absolutely. We should always be thinking of ways to save, and we've got a new president, a new administration, and we've got a new commission looking at efficiencies in government. Could that happen someday? Anything could happen. Because we're so dependent on the state budget, we know we're going into this budget session. It's going to be a tough year, and But that's something that the board, full board, is going to have to decide later. And that is our purview as the 13 elected members of the board. And it's not going to be part of this because I feel like the train's already left the station, which it has. And if we decide at a later date to do something different, we'll do it. So with that, I hope everybody realizes this is a national search, and we are not going to stop this search until we have a candidate that after we've listened to all the advisory members, the five members on this committee, the search presidential search committee, will put one or it could be two names forward, and then it would be the full board of regents that make that final decision. So this committee recommends to the full board. Okay? So anybody got any questions on any of it?
Chair, Regent Brooks.
Yes, thank you, Regent Brooks.
Thank you, Chair. I intently listened to everything that was said by the consultants and certainly by you in regards to how the process works and moves. I think it's important that all members of this committee, whether elected, you know, regents or others, are heard, and that we have certain conversations inside the committee meetings, and certainly we all want to feel like this is a shared process. In that spirit, I'm wondering if there was an opportunity to at least have a discussion on what I had brought up in new business during our last meeting, which was not a merger, but taking a look at this through a different lens where we're having some fiscal accountability for how the board and the committee moves regarding bringing in a new president for TMCC. And it seems as though sometimes we operate from a perspective of whether or not we gain new knowledge about something, or we're not operating from all of the facts at the time that a decision is made, that once the decision is made, we can't go back and rectify or perform something in terms of what might be best practice measures based on new information. And so I'm not really sure, how to actually move forward on something that has come up as what I had brought up in the last meeting. But it's certainly worth a conversation if we're sitting as a committee to have discussion about how the search would move, particularly when we talk about fiscal responsibility and efficiency. And so I'm wondering, if Chair, if there's anything that you want to speak to that.
Madam Chair, if I don't mind just jumping in. Chris Nielsen, special counsel for the record. Regent Brooks, I just want to caution everybody right now, and I hate to be the goalpost, keep us in the lane guy here, but we are under number three, which is this presidential search process. And so I think if there wants to be a broader conversation about process generally, I think in my opinion it would need to be individually agendized, either at this committee level or at the board as a whole level, and that would be my recommendation.
Thank you, General Counsel Nielsen. With that, I respect the decision of the council and what you did say at the meeting, Regent Brooks. Certainly begs the whole board's attention, so you've made your request known. And it is the chair of this committee or the chair of our full board that determines what goes on an agenda. But what you're discussing certainly would need to go, probably, I agree, to the full board. So with that, if there's no other questions on item number three, I don't see any. Anybody on Zoom? Oh, we have a question here with...
Yeah, maybe I missed it, but I was looking at the proposed timeline. Could we do a recap on that?
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Absolutely.
In terms of the profile, we hope to get that finalized and posted on the website within about a week. And that's when recruitment truly commences, locally, statewide, and nationally. And applications go to acctsearches.org. We manage all of the applications. We will be actively recruiting. So this isn't simply passive ads, which are, of course, a piece of it. So the target date for applications for candidate will be March 10. Then at that point, our committee chair will be reviewing the applications, the confidential applications. At that point, we will work in concert with her to determine the semifinalists. Those individuals will have interviews through video in early April. There will be a determination of the strongest, most competitive candidates based on the profile. Those will be invited to come public, to come to the campus, the week of May 5. And as soon as we know the dates and times and locations, that information is going to go out college-wide so that everyone has an opportunity to participate and learn about those individuals and provide feedback. Then, hopefully by early May, there'll be a decision. Negotiations will start, and ideally, there will be an early July start date for the next president.
Questions? Yes. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Senator Emery Bettering. So I understand that you guys mentioned a survey. Are you guys able to reiterate what the survey was, and how does that help develop the draft for the presidential profile?
Sure.
We asked the same. Were you at one of the forums that we had on campus? We asked the same questions at the forums that we asked on the survey, and the questions were, what characteristics do you want in your next president? What are the issues that you see facing the college over the next few years, and then is there anything else you'd like to tell us? And then we aggregated all of that data, and as Julie said earlier, the themes that kept popping out, we made sure that we included in the profile, along with the general best practices for what a president does at a college in general. We made sure that we included all of the specific input. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And is it okay if I ask a follow-up question, Madam Chair?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. So, considering that you guys got the rest of our answers, and I know you guys said that it is our responsibility to keep the values of Team CC, does that also apply to the whole presidential search as well? Like, will you guys be able to implement some of the values that Team CC has as well alongside?
Could you talk right into the microphone? I didn't understand your question, and I don't think they did either. Thank you.
Sorry, are you guys able to hear me now?
Yeah.
It's a little big question. I'm trying to, basically, I understand that you guys said that also, that it is our responsibility as well to keep the values of our college. How will you guys implement that with the draft, with the survey as well, and everything else that you guys have for the process?
So to make sure we understood that correctly, how are the college's values being interwoven and incorporated into the entire process in the profile?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect, perfect. That is a critical piece of all of this, so that the goal is for the profile to attract candidates that are going to be successful here and lead the college forward for some time. The commitment to diversity will be interwoven in the profile and in our recruitment efforts. So there are a number of different ways where the core values of the college should align throughout this entire search process. And I think having all these lenses around the table with different experiences and skill sets also really sets the stage for that. Debbie?
Yes, and I would just add that is what we tried to do as we drafted the profile. We tried to incorporate the important factors that came out from the forums and from the surveys, But if there's something we miss, this is the step of the process where this committee looks at it and says, oh, well, we think this needs to be emphasized more, and makes that recommendation to the chair. And then the chair has the final approval on the profile. But we definitely want it to reflect what the college wants and needs, because we're going to be out there talking to candidates and saying, this is what the college wants. And if it's someone, if that's not someone who has values congruent with those values of the college, then they shouldn't apply, because they wouldn't be happy here and the college would not be happy with them. Okay?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Certainly. Anybody else?
Chair Carvalho? Tell Carla. I apologize.
We'll go to Regent Arascata, then to Ms. Elliott.
Apologize. I'm looking at the television and looking at you at the same time. On the provided documentation we received of the draft presidential search timeline, one of it provides is a big reverb here. One moment, please. There we go. Is the target dates for that we have set for the search committee and the confidential semifinalist candidates, project a number of semifinal candidates, the finalists, and the number of candidates that both yourself and ACCT are going to be provided to the board or bringing to the board, is about approximately what number of both semifinalists and finalists to the board in which the selection can be made?
At the finalist level, yeah.
Normally, this is like, I don't know, 15th committee I've been on. Usually you try to bring 3 to 5, because what really happens, for those of you that haven't been through this process, Nevada has very stringent open meeting laws, and I know our council went through that last time, but at the point that you become a finalist, your name goes public in Nevada. And what happens is many of these people that are applying really don't want their name public until they have the job, but that's not how Nevada works. So we have had people take their name out once they realized they were the finalists, and then their name's going public. Because what happens is at some campuses that if their name goes public, they don't get the job, then it's a pretty tough place to stay and work, because some people see it as disloyalty. I mean, so I would say Regent Arascata, 3 to 5. And this committee can also, once we get down to those finalists, if we have 2 finalists that are just so outstanding, we can recommend that 2 names go forward to the full board also. But in all the searches I've been on, we had a search where we were down to 2 candidates. And I wished, looking back, I think we would have been better off to start the search over to get more names in the pool, although it was a difficult search. So with the amount of surveys that went out and the people that participated in the listening session, there's like at least 125 people that have participated from your campus, and it was also from your foundation. The net was wide. It was the community members that could participate. And so it's that collectively that all those thoughts went to our search consultants, and then they put together the profile of what they're hearing you say. And then the next agenda item, we're going to go through that profile, and we will go – well, we'll get to that in just a minute. We'll go around the room on that one. But does that answer your question?
About 4 to 5 candidates will be provided or come up to the board for questioning and answers to be selected.
Right.
Before.
And we really won't know that till the three of us sit down and go through all those. And, yes, of course, Debbie.
At the forums, sure. I do want to emphasize, too, it was over 120 people who directly responded to the surveys or came to the forum. But I was amazed at the number at the forum who had conversations within their department or within their organization, and they brought lists that they had collaborated on. So the representation of voices was much broader than the 120.
Okay, thank you for that. And we'll, Regent Boylan, we'll go to you after Ms. Elliott.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to build on Regent Arrascada's question because I'm still not clear. It's a bifurcated approach. So we have the semifinalists first that come in. And how many of those normally do we see? 10, 15, 8?
No, we don't see the – we only see the finalists. The semifinalists are done by myself and our search consultants.
Okay, so that's conducted by the search chair. And then the finalist candidates, which is 3 to 5, then those come in for on-campus forums and then with the search, with us, with the search
yes.
committee.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. And then from that selection, then 2, 1, whatever, then you down to what whoever, and then we can either send that to make a recommendation and it goes to the full board, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Chair Scott.
And Regent Boylan?
Madam Chair, thank you so much. What you just said was extremely important. Will it be up to us, when I say that, the board, you, or will it be up to the this group that's doing the search to inform the candidates up front, right up front, let's be straight, that, look, your name is going to come out if you're going to be in the final. So that would save them, save us a lot of time and a lot of, heartache. Because every time that happens when someone just says, I'm not doing it at the last moment, it really breaks me heart. I'm like, what a lot of time wasted. So whose responsibility is that going to be, and why shouldn't it be done right up front? Thank you so much, madam. Maybe that's to the young lady sitting to your right, that question.
Yes. Yes, Julie, be happy to answer that.
Thank you, ma'am.
In every conversation we have with the first level interview candidates, we will be very clear about when their names will go public. In addition, it is in print in the how to apply language. The very first sentence reads, the process is confidential until the finalist stage, period. So it's in writing to the world. It will be part of our conversations, and it is the practice of the state.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I didn't read the first line because I didn't apply for it, but that's right up front. Good point. I appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair.
That's good. Anybody else? These are all great questions because if you're not familiar with the process, it's, you know, you kind of wonder how we do things. So thank you. I think we've got that one covered. And that was an information-only item, no votes required. So we'll go to number 4, which is the president leadership profile. This is an action item, and attached to your agenda was the leadership profile. And I know you've all had time to read it, and I'm hoping you see some of the themes that that's important to you. And with that, we'll go to our consultants first to talk about it. And then when they're finished, we're going to go around the room and start with our advisory committee members and ask you specifically if you're okay with it or is there something that needed to be changed, added, deleted, whatever. We'll do that, and then it'll come back to the regents, and we'll take a vote at some point. Okay? Want to start with that, Julie, then?
Great. The introductory language, the about the college and about the area, was provided by the college, by you, by TMCC. So that is not language that we crafted. So it's our understanding that that is the language that you use to present yourself publicly, and it has already been vetted and part of who you are and how you market and present yourself as an institution. So for us, we simply used your language. Where our work started was with the sentence, the president of TMCC will be a dynamic leader, which is in bold, and everything beyond that. So wanted to lay that out as an introductory piece. We start with opportunities and challenges. the big themes, and we explain this in terms of looking on the horizon, what are the big ticket items that the next president really needs to accomplish looking on the horizon 3, 5, 7 years into the future. The ideal characteristics, and there's a lot of them, but this, we really try to incorporate the many important themes that we heard. And some of them are synonymous, and some of it may appear redundant, but we did that deliberately because certain soft skills, certain values were really emphasized again and again and again. And then we go to the preferred qualifications. Again, those are not required. They're not absolutes. But those are more measurable. And then, of course, we get down to the minimum. And the way we describe that to the forums and the way that we word that language to you is those are absolutes. Those candidates cannot even be viewed in any capacity if they don't meet those. And typically, boards don't want to set the bar terribly high so that you can at least look at the broadest, most inclusive pool of candidates possible. Debbie.
I just want to... Sorry. I want to assure you that we're really listening. I'm going to be typing as some of you talk so that we try to capture everything, and Julie's going to be writing. But we're practicing the active listening that that we want you to do throughout the meetings. We don't want you to think we're not listening, okay?
And don't worry, they'll also get an audio recording. So if you can't type it fast enough or write it down fast enough, I know I use the audio recordings all the time. They're very helpful after a meeting. Okay? So with that, we're ready? Yes. We'll start and we'll go around and start with you, Mr. Hughes. I think you're the, Tina, I didn't see you. You're sitting with us. Tina, do you want to start? And do you have anything to add, subtract, or highlight on the profile?
I do not. It's great.
You think it's great?
I do.
Very
thorough.
Okay. It's very what?
Thorough.
Very thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Jericho. Bill Farwell. I think the search committee did a good job of capturing my...
Yeah, you got to press the button.
Search committee did a great job of capturing the meetings on campus and the survey. So it's no edits for me. I like it. Good job.
Great. Now, Kim?
I agree. Good job. No edits for me.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also thought the document was very thorough. One thing just particularly of note, having participated in a lot of executive searches over the years, I thought you did a great job of framing up the minimums, because at the end of the day, this is about fit. So I think the minimums do a great job of ensuring you're going to get candidates that are qualified, and I think it sets us up to make a great decision on the right fit for the institution. So I thought it was really well done. Thank you.
And can everyone please state their name for the record? I know that was Taylor Adams that was just speaking.
Yeah, this is David Meisner for the record. I think the document's real well, but I don't see enough in there about the type of leader this would be. There is some leadership qualities, and I thank you for that in there, the bullet points talking about that, but it doesn't address what type of leadership style or leader this will actually be. And therefore, I don't think it sets the stage for the potential candidates correctly.
That's really helpful. If I could ask a follow-up, maybe about some more specifics that you would like to see in terms of that type of leader?
Well, sure. Mainly on what is their style. I mean, you have servant leadership, you have other styles. What is their type, and what do they think that actually means? Because I do think strong leadership is paramount in this college at this point. And we'd like to really know what they think that means in terms of how they would lead the staff and faculty, not just in how they would interact with the public.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good feedback.
Estella?
Estella Gutierrez. Excellent job in capturing all of what we said. So kudos to you. David, I do agree. Usually my experience has been that that question is usually posed during the interview. So that's usually a question there. So that's just my opinion at this point. I do believe that during this time, at this time that we're living at, obviously it's going to be a person who's going to be able to navigate, innovate, and bring people together.
May I make a
comment? Yes.
I appreciate that, and I apologize because we usually say that at the beginning. I'm going to keep a separate list here, too, of some things that we might want to be sure to include in interview questions. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
This is a job well done for me. The listening session that I attended.
Can you state your name, please? Oh.
My apologies. This is Haley Orthel Clark. This is a job well done for me. The listening session that I attended definitely had highlights and themes that have all been captured here. I agree with Debbie and Julie's approach of including a little bit of intentional redundancy. I don't really quite see it as being redundant per se, but as being sort of layered, and all of those pieces are important. I agree with David in that it would be great to hear from some of our candidates what type of leadership style they believe that they lead with, but I do see within here at least that there is certainly a preference for individuals who say are exceptional listeners, those that are visible spokespersons, those that are unifiers, and those that have demonstrated ability at least to be able to create community. I see all of that at least as being a preferred leadership style, at least as stated within the profile. So thank you for your hard work on this.
Thank you. And to you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Clara Andriola. For the record, I'll echo the sentiments that have already been shared. Great job and thoroughness. And one of the things that I'm going to point out as a possibility, maybe wouldn't necessarily be worded directly in here. It may be more of an interview. But I think given the long history of the financial strain and constraints that community colleges have to go through, and the potential funding and the conversations that are so probably welcomed by the Board of Regents on a regular basis, it would be, I think, helpful to have a president demonstrate an example of efficiency, innovation, and leveraging within their own system. In terms of having a financial impact in regard to being good stewards of the dollars that are allocated for the success of its graduates and the support of staff. And so it was just one thing I didn't see in here that may be prudent to include.
Excellent. I agree. That's an excellent suggestion considering we fight for every dollar every 2 years. So, yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Next.
Edward Espona for the record. Thank you. I think this is a pretty thorough, and I do echo Commissioner Andriola's comments. I think somebody that has strong financial skills and ability to get creative sometimes when things get tough, I think that's an important thing. I do believe that everything in here already specifically states some of the characteristics that we want in this individual. And I think, again, it does make sense that we don't get to put anything in here that's going to bias a candidate specifically to not apply. So we're not going to ask specifically at this point, what is your leadership style? That is a good thing to do during the interview. And I think that is, again, something that we can do. And those are great questions to have, but I want to make sure that when we're going out with these things that we have that broad net where that bias doesn't seep in. There's enough things in here that we want that are the values of the college that we want. So I think this is a good document. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the record, Emery Betre. I also want to echo my other colleagues as well for what they said about our future president knowing financials and being a creative. But I also agree with Mr. Misner as well that there are a lot of soft skills that you guys mentioned here, and you guys did mention that. And as much as I appreciate it, it would be good to know a lot of the hard skills as well that our future president has. And as mentioned before, it is more so for like interview, but hopefully we'll get to know more about that. But overall, I really appreciate how you guys reiterated exactly what's all of what we said into this whole document, especially for what for ideal characteristics. I think that really answered my question from the beginning when I asked you guys about values for our college, and this really helped out. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Next.
Ginger Doe, for the record. I am thankful for such a thorough document. It's obvious that you took into account what came out of listening sessions, at least the one that I was at. And I would just like to echo what Ms. Orthel Clark said, in that I appreciate the redundancy. It feels like intentional redundancy to really highlight the key areas that we are looking for. So thank you for the thorough document.
Thank you.
Thank you for the record, Mindy Elliott. And I agree with Commissioner Andrew. I always want to make sure that the person has the ability to shepherd and has a fiduciary responsibility and understands the importance, especially as there's ebbs and flows in the, we'll just call it the ebbs and flows of the funding of the campuses. So that was, but I'm glad to hear, since I didn't participate in a forum, I'm really glad to hear in the echoing comments that you were able to capture the opportunities that presented from all the forums. So thank you for that. Because I was reading it, and I was hoping, right? Because yeah. I wasn't there. So thank you for doing that. But other than that, I agree with Mr. Adams that it was an excellent document. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Julie Ellsworth Baker. For the record, on first reading, I did think there was the redundancy that you mentioned. But knowing that it's representing the voices that were heard, then that makes sense. I would say maybe we could add a little redundancy in a certain few areas. The ones that come to mind is the evidence of understanding budgets, grants, funding challenges, mm-hmm. and maybe the funding landscape in Nevada. We are a unique state. And there can be folks who apply and don't understand Nevada, and some of that early homework might be useful for candidates. The other thing was maybe some added emphasis on prioritizing academic excellence. I would be in favor of that.
Okay. All right. So I think, is there any advisory members on Zoom? Because I'm not seeing any on the screen I have in front of me. Okay, thank you, Angela. So, Mr. Duarte, you want to? The floor is all yours. Are you there? No? He's not what? Okay, you need to unmute your microphone, if you can hear me. And we can always come back to you. So we'll go to Mr. Martinez. Councilman Martinez. Are you there? You need to unmute. No? Okay. We can come back to you if you hear me and want to say something. So with that, we'll go to the members of this committee, and I'll start with you, Regent Arascata.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The thoroughness of this documentation is beyond impressive. However, for me, this is almost too much. What I mean by that is If an applicant is going to be applying for this position, they could literally use this documentation as their Cliff Note version of what they're going to be submitting into the committee. What I would have liked to have seen is to kind of maintain these unique characteristics kind of as an ace up our sleeve, is when the interviews do come across, these questions could have been proposed to the applicants of what they are going to contribute to this fine campus. What I would have liked to have seen are some of the, as the job posting, of just the preferred qualifications, the minimum qualifications. When a person or the applicant comes and presents to us, we would like to hear their experience, their acumen, their capabilities of pinpointing, checklisting all of these attributes that they'd be presenting to the campus. So now an applicant can do their due diligence, their research, or the minimum research, and to have these qualifications or these present that they have these qualifications up their sleeve. But do they really possess all of these characteristics that we're truly looking for in an individual? So, like I said, it is a very thorough documentation. However, when the posting does be disseminated nationwide, for me, I would have only liked to see the preferred qualifications and the minimum qualifications. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Brooks?
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. It's a fantastic document that was created for us to take a look at in terms of characteristics and some of the things that we're looking for in a president at TMCC. However, there are just a few things that I thought about as I was listening and reading with what we were presented. And just to highlight a couple, there were some, I think I echo maybe some of my colleagues around the table where we'd want somebody who has knowledge of the academic enterprise in terms of having at least learning about the culture and the area of TMCC and knowing how that institution moves, particularly when we take a look at funding and legislative issues. And then under minimum qualifications, what I didn't see was anything that spoke to business acumen. And so I thought that business enterprise management would be something that would be advantageous for somebody coming in to run one of our institutions. When we take a look at academic leaders, I think academic leaders call for a position of like the provost or the dean. But I think when we're taking a look at a president, that person should have some pretty solid business acumen. And that would be my contribution to what other things we could take a look at for this new president. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll go to Regent Brown.
Thank you, Regent Brown, for the record. So when I just want to reiterate, I really appreciated on the round the table a focus on being innovative, making sure the staff has confidence and support, and then strong financial skills. I think those are three things that are important to reiterate. I had written that I think, you know, we talk about there's a following opportunities and challenges, but we don't actually list any real challenges in this section. And I think that we should be honest that there will be budget constraints that was brought up, but that the enrollment fluctuates and that there are aging infrastructure here. And I think those are just things to acknowledge and have somebody ready to have answers on those things, because that's just a state of who we are. I also thought two other points. I want to make sure that we acknowledge and emphasize that they need to work with other institutions within our system for matriculation purposes and making sure that the students are set up for success if there is a design for that. And then the second thing is partnership with local economic development agencies and just making sure that that is a strengthen that relationship moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. And with that, we'll go to you, Regent Downs.
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. I want to reiterate what Regent Ariscott has said. I would be concerned that someone might take this type of document and put it into ChatGPT and say, make me a five-page letter that would express what I want to do with this job. It's so thorough. It's a very thorough document. And I do appreciate how you've captured how the interest of so many different groups in school. And I think that Regents Brown brings up some really good points in terms of the tied to financial management and all that. I do appreciate, it does say here that under some of the values, characteristics about the collective bargaining and some familiarity with that, so that's good. My concern is, and I don't want to get political here, it does reference DEI, and I don't know if that's a concern with the federal administration having put that in the crosshairs lately. I know that this is a state position, but it does get some funds from federal, especially with Pell Grants. So that's just something I wanted to point out. But overall, I think it's a very thorough document, and I applaud the people who put this together. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I want to say everyone's feedback has been really excellent. And as far as the DEI that was mentioned, we faced this issue at ACCTM on the board, as you know, and we have several states that have abolished the DEI, but we are not going to give up our mission of helping underrepresented students. So you can call it anything you want. Take the D, the E, the I, use other words. Our business is to help people lift themselves out of poverty, get a good job. You got to do it. You have to do it with a degree, a certificate, something today. So I know things are going on at the national level, but our mission is to help students and all the different unrepresented groups. I'm a first-generation student myself, and having had a higher education made all the difference in the world. My parents weren't either of them able to go, financial reasons and other reasons. But I don't think we're never going to lose our mission. And we have, at the community college level, we have a fabulous mission. So let's what did Shakespeare say? A rose by any other name is still a rose. That's how I feel about all that. So. Let's see. I think we've really. I think what will happen now? They've taken copious notes. They're going to listen again to the recordings, and all the points that were brought together. And this is why this is such a great process, because there's so many eyes looking at it. There's two eyes. Yes, they do a lot of searches, and yes, there was over 120 people that either did the survey or came to the listening. And I didn't know that some of those coming represented other big groups. And that's even beautiful. So that number at 123 is way more than that, to capture what it is you're looking for right here. And you're unique. TMCC is different than CSN. You're a unique campus right here. I think you're the crown jewel of our Northern Nevada and our Reno community. It's just, I've been a student here many years ago, taking a foreign language class. It was great. So what will happen, they're going to go back and rework with all the suggestions that came in today. And you'll see in the motion, whoever makes that motion, it needs to include the fact that the draft will come back and final review will be with the chair of that. And we're doing that so it does not have to come back to all of you and to have to call another meeting. So that's why we put that in there, because we are on somewhat of a time constraint. And also, once I do make that approval with the guidance of our search consultants, then it will go out to all of you. And if there's still something that we've not gotten, absolutely let us know. Please. I mean, this is really your process. I'm steering the ship here. And we want to make sure we capture everything, because whoever gets this job, I think they're really going to love it, and they're going to be, I think they're lucky, because who doesn't want to live in Reno? Come on. This is my hometown. I know I'm prejudiced. My family came here in 1907, and I've just seen it grow, and There's just so much potential, and I said this at a board meeting earlier. We have so much potential, even with the budgets being cut, we have so much potential for adults that are out there that need to be upskilled. I mean, that's I think is our low-hanging fruit. So this college is going to be around for a long, long, long time. So with that, if there's no other questions,
Chair,
yes, Ms. Elliott, and then who else? Was there someone else?
It was me. Mr. Martinez has his hands up.
Okay, great. Oh, so good. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Awesome, great. Thank you. I apologize for not being able to reach my mute button or unmute button on time last time, but I appreciate the robust discussion. I think when I was reviewing the job profile, what I appreciated was the fact that there was basically three different tiers where it had the minimum, ideal, and preferred qualifications, and those really spelled out a lot of what was desired. And thank you all for the work in capturing what you did during those listening sessions. I think it's important, a lot of the stuff that I have experienced at TMCC, not just being a student, but also an employee there. I think it takes into consideration both the student services side of the house and the academic side of the house, requiring some experience in the classroom. And so I think this profile will lend itself to find that leader that TMCC is going to need to take us into the future. So thank you all for your work.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to call on Ms. Elliott, but then I will also come back and call on regents that aren't on the committee. Thank you. Ms. Elliott?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Mindy Elliott, I just so for edification purposes, so once you have this new draft, once it gets approved today, and we have an opportunity to review it one more time, right? If we see something else that we would like added, Is there one more opportunity for us to, or is, no? I just wanted to make sure that I know what the next steps are. Thank
As
you.
The chair, I would say yes, because to me this is the most important part. This is the heart and soul of this search, and we've got to get this right. And to your point, Regent Ariscotti, you know, ChatGPT is going to be around. It's part of our life now. And I understand what you're saying, but once we get that profile done and the applications start coming in, that's where hiring a top search consultant in ACCT, as they do the interviews with the candidates, that's where the rubber, I think, really meets the road, and that's where you're going to tell who's done it, just a ChatGPT, or who's the real deal. I mean, these people have enough experience. I know, I think, Julie, in your presentation, you said you've been involved in over 500 searches. So she's been around over 18 years, right? Over 18 years. I mean, I think she's going to be able to pick out the wheat from the shaft. Would you like to say anything else on that, Debbie?
The only thing, I don't want anybody to think that if their exact words aren't in here that you weren't heard, because there has to be a final decision somewhere, and sometimes we get conflicting requests, and so everybody's requests are it just is impossible to do what everybody says. So a final, I just want to make it clear so that everybody's under the same understanding. The final decision is going to be with the chair, who does the final approval of the profile, because we have to have someone give us an answer before it goes nationwide.
Yes, and I'm a good listener. I'm very inclusive. And if there is something that gets missed when this next draft comes and you guys see it, absolutely we'll take that into consideration. I mean, because really this has got to be right. And I'm going to call on you, Taylor, as soon as we hear from Regent our Chair Carvalho, if she's got anything to add to the profile.
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. I think that the comments that have been brought up already include everything that I would have said in different aspects. I think that this is a very concise document, well done. I have confidence in research consultants, so I have nothing else to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. And to Ryu Regent Boylan.
Thanks, Madam Chair. That was the only question I had. Everyone's doing such a fine job that I really don't have too many questions right now. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And to that, Mr. Adams.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Taylor Adams for the record. First, I want to start by thanking Regent Brown for bringing up the economic development community and the impact that community colleges have in our work every day. And after she said that, I was thinking about comments that were made by Ms. Andriola, supported by Ms. Elliott, and then expanded on by Ms. Ellsworth-Baker. And if we are to sort of beef up the language around sort of understanding the nuance of Nevada, I think where I don't think this would make sense as a requirement, as it, I think it becomes overly restrictive, it probably is wise to advise candidates to at least familiarize themselves with the Dillon Rule prior to arriving, because that frequently features in the economic development aspect of the work and is somewhat unique to just a handful of states now. Thank you.
Those are all excellent points, and within that profile, too, I do believe we are still the state with the highest unemployment rate. So there's just great opportunity to plug in economic development with this community college. I mean, that, you know, I think 50% of our students transfer to our universities, but that other 50% is there getting ready for the workforce. And it is a key component. This is why community colleges were established in the country. And in 1971, the bill was passed in Nevada that established this college, College of Southern Nevada, and Western Nevada College and Great Basin had already been there since, I believe, 1967. They were our first. So, anybody else? I got everybody?
Regent
one more
Brooks.
Final thought? Yeah. Okay. Regent Brooks.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. after hearing all the comments from colleagues and those and fellow regents, I would have to say I have a little bit of concern in this agenda item being a possible action. With all due respect to the consultants and the process, recognizing that the final decision on things rests with the committee and then the board, it would be very difficult for me to vote in the affirmative of the current leadership profile without being able to see some of the changes that were offered today. So I think that's where I sit with this. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chris Nielsen for the record. Regent Brooks, my understanding, this is baked into your own bylaws, and that this approach has been utilized in other, not just presidential searches, but it was a similar approach was used in, for example, in selecting the internal auditor for Enchi recently, in that at the end of the day, that if the two options today for the action item would be to either approve the profile as is or approve the direct the consultants to revise the draft based on the comments that received at the meeting with final review delegated to the chair, and that's pursuant to your own rules. And in part, it's because of the, as we talked about, we do have the open meeting law rules here in Nevada. At the end of the day, we can have no more than one individual kind of be part of that process. And so that is part of the rules. And again, it's not just for this search. It's my understanding that it's been utilized in all previous searches, including searches for key personnel up at Enchi.
Regent Brooks, for the record.
Thank you.
Regent Brooks, for the record. Thank you, Counselor. I appreciate the your input. It certainly doesn't, you know, if it was done a certain way in the past, I think that's fantastic, and I think perhaps in the future we have to take a look at policy in terms of how some of the things get done, but it certainly doesn't change my view on this leadership profile. Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Brooks. And to our Chief of Staff, Carrie Nikolajewski, do you want to weigh in on that at all? Or is it covered by our council?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Carrie Nikolajewski, Chief of Staff, for the record. I will say that the board's policy requires that the leadership profile be approved at the second meeting of the search committee. That's intentional so that there's no delay in getting that advertising out there. And as we've done with other searches, after this meeting and ACCT will create a updated profile, we can circulate that to the committee for any final comments. I would say that typically we don't allow new comments that were not raised during the meeting.
Okay, I didn't know that.
That's not done in public. So committee members will have an opportunity to weigh in very quickly. It'll be a short deadline because we've got to keep that search moving. But there will be an opportunity to give feedback, final feedback, before the chair approves the final document.
And that's thank you so much for that. And that is why I called on you, because you've been there for every search in the, 20-plus years you've been with us. And so I misspoke then. So if once this profile gets all the new ideas from today put together by our search consultants and comes to me and I give it final approval, it goes out to the committee. At that point, we can't add anything because it's not done in public. Is that correct?
Yes. I would not advise on adding anything new. Because the rest of the committee would not have the benefit of having that deliberation.
Okay, that's great clarification, and I wasn't even aware of that myself. Regent Brown?
Regent Brown, for the record. I just want to piggyback, Carrie, just for situational awareness, but I'm pretty sure you said that no additional information, but if the profile comes back and there's something that was reiterated here in this meeting that didn't make it through, at that point, a committee member could emphasize again that they want that point to be made. And then the chair would make the decision whether that gets done.
Correct. And to the points made earlier by ACCT, it is important to have that final person who's making that call, because there is sometimes conflicting. I didn't hear a lot of conflicting information today, but that is the reason to have that one person doing that final approval.
So essentially, if you ever want it on the record, it's now. There's your time.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Regent Brown, because this is where the rubber meets the road, right here today. You people that are here at this meeting, and I think there was one more on Zoom. Angela, did they? No? Okay. And I think Mr. S. Estepona had also had a remark.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Edward Estepona for record. I also want to, in addition to economic development, I think this candidate, if we're going to get to the details of things, should know mechanisms specifically, or at least should look into mechanisms specifically, how some of the funding, even from workforce development side, happens. And in the case of Northern Nevada, we're looking at Nevada Works, and Dieter specifically, his organization has contributed funds to TMCC in ways of providing training, whether it's recertification training or even for credit training. They've provided actual scholarships or paying for credits, that kind of thing. I think it's important for them to know that, because those two organizations are very important in making sure that we have a trained workforce. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great point, and you might as well add GOED, because that's a big component of it too. We get them all, Heather, Regent Brown. GOED, Dieter, and Nevada Works. Ms. Elliott.
And maybe it's implied because of the position, but I apologize. I can't get on the internet, and I had made my notes on my.
Oh, you should have said something. We have people here in the room.
But in the legislative advocacy. And I think it's implied, but because of the way the Nevada NISHI and how everything works in this state, because a lot of community colleges just have their own board and they work with the county, I think there needs to be an understanding of the Nevada legislative hierarchy. I think that that's important, because you don't want somebody to walk in here and go, have an aha moment of the structure. Thank you.
Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I just want to say that for Julie and I, again, we said this at the forums, but it also, all that we've heard today also helps us when we're actually talking to the candidates, because we'll remember your voices and what was important at this meeting.
Yes, Julie.
So Julie Ellsworth Baker, for the record. I would support what I believe it was Regent Downs who mentioned that DEI as an acronym might deter certain people from applying. For just the acronym and it in the current environment.
Right.
But the wording of serving our community, serving underrepresented, serving first generation, be highly supportive of that kind of language.
Thank you.
Good point.
Anybody else? Okay, I will entertain a motion brought by a member of the committee. And Regent Brown, I think you raised your hand.
Thank you, Regent Brown, for the record. I'd like to make a motion to direct the consultants to revise the draft based on comments received at this meeting with the final review and approval by the search chair.
Thank you. And do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Regent Arascata. Any further comment from the search committee? Okay, hearing none, could you please take a roll call vote, Angela?
Chair Del Carlo.
Yes.
Vice Chair Arascata.
Yep.
Regent Brooks. Regent Brown.
Yes.
Regent Downs.
Yes.
Regent Brooks.
I appreciate the extra few seconds to think about this one. Yes.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, everyone. And this was an excellent discussion. That's why we allowed 90 minutes for it. And I know there's 20 advisory members. I think we're missing about five, so it would have gone a little bit longer with that, too. So with that, we'll go to item number 5, which is our advertising plan. This also is an action item, and I will turn this over to our search consultants.
Thank you. So the advertising plan that you have before you is robust. It is typical of a large institution's advertising plan to get the word out very quickly nationally at all of the key publications. And I always like to point out that beyond this, this is a piece of it, but the one-to-one confidential conversations that we'll be having, seeking recommendations, nominations is a big piece. In addition, of course, the position will be posted on our website, and we have a blast email, a proprietary list that goes out to over 16,000 leaders in higher education. So all of these pieces are part of getting the word out to develop a strong and rich and competitive and diverse candidate pool. And the tier one, of course, are the key, the Chronicle of Higher Education, higher ed jobs. Individuals who are on the market in higher education are keeping an eye on these websites. Those are the go-to standards. And then the rest really are diverse publications, more specialized. Again, this is a comprehensive list of postings. Debbie, do you have anything else to share about the suggested advertising plan?
The only thing I would just emphasize is that this is a part of the way that we ensure diverse candidates. So that's part of how we weave that value. It's an ACCT value in addition to a TMCC value.
Okay, thank you. And I will put another plug in for ACCT because tomorrow morning I'm leaving for the ACCT Legislative Summit. This is our annual gathering of our trustees around the country. And also we meet with AACC, our sister organization, which is the Association, American Association of Community Colleges, and this is the president's. So the ACCT is the trustee or regent, and AACC is the president. So we all gather together, and we go up to Capitol Hill and lobby for our interests. But I'm bringing this up because we have over 1,300 people registered coming into this, and at our site at the Marriott, we have a marketplace, and Julie will be manning the booth there on presidential searches. She's not only there to let people know that there's this wonderful opportunity here in Reno, Nevada at TMCC, but she's also looking for prospective future clients too, of course. And at that booth, the TMCC has graciously sent a box of takeaways, so there'll be things there. I know Regent Brown is going, as is Chair Carvalho. The three of us will be leading our all four campuses are coming, and we have two students from CSN. And this is really a great opportunity, and the timing couldn't be better because here we're going to be there. We start Sunday night. Everybody gets in, and we're there all day Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So the word's really going to be out among the community colleges, and ACCT is the only one and only premier organization for community college trustees. And AACC, of course, represents the president. So I'm really tickled that the timing couldn't be better for that one. And I have to say, those of us that knew the former president at WNC, ACCT, nabbed him away from us, and he's now in Texas. We all know who we're talking about. I can't say his name publicly because I don't have his permission. Anyway, so with that, any questions on the advertising plan? Oh, yes, Mr. Estepona.
Edward Estepona for the record. I know these are all specifically publications that are for higher ed and all that. You know, that makes a whole world of sense because there's a cultural theme going on that goes on. But one of the trends that I think sometimes people don't know they're looking for a job or want to look for a job. So when you're going through these publications, they're not always going to look specifically in these specific areas of job opens. So my thoughts are specifically with LinkedIn, because it's a digital platform, it's pretty inexpensive at times to specifically seek out individuals with titles. There are certain titles that we know that are maybe the next up. They aren't really the president right now of the campus they're in, or maybe they are even president of the campus they're in and they want to move up or they want to change of environment. I would suggest that maybe we open a look at some of those LinkedIn opportunities specifically around job titles for qualifications. Again, I don't want to do a LinkedIn to everybody because that makes no sense. There's minimum requirements you need to have specifically to have this job. But I think if we can do that, I think we can at least in these – specific ads, it would entice people, even if they're not looking, to even go, oh, what is this? Interesting. I think that's the only thing my comment at this point around that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Julia, comment.
Excellent. And ACCT, the search team does have a presence on LinkedIn, so we could certainly boost it via LinkedIn to get a broader net.
Okay, and that doesn't change. Since you've already got the accountant stuff, that
it's part of what we
do. It's part of what you do, and there's no extra cost.
No.
Okay, great. I like that. Go ahead, Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Chair DelCarlo. For the record, Andy Hughes. Within the profile, we do a good job of alluding to our status as a Hispanic-serving institution. However, I would like to suggest that we also advertise at HACU, which is the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities. They're pretty large within the HSI serving institution space. So that would be my suggestion. Thank you.
Julie?
That is also excellent feedback. And if our chair gives us permission, we will add that to the list.
Permission granted. Absolutely. That's a very good point. And many, many of us, I have not been, but many of us in ENCHI go to the HACU conference. Have you been, Joe? No, I haven't either.
Yeah, Chair, just real quick, just on that last point, just similar to the last item, as you're aware, that the committee can either approve the list as proposed here, or if there's if it's the pleasure of the committee to add or subtract or whatever else, it would be the same process where the motion would be to direct the consultant to revise the plan based on comments heard today.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. You beat me to it, so I appreciate that.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Scotta?
Just on our previous agenda item on the leadership profile, bear with me on this. Mr. Nielsen, give me a little bit of flexibility here. On the previous item on page 4, we had that the application material should be received no later than March 10th. And then on this agenda item, we have some of the advertising plan as going out 30 to 90 days. And I know that we're going to make some adjustments to the previous agenda item, but do we also have to give a little bit of more flexibility to that closing date and the receival of applications?
Go ahead.
So ads are typically out there, the duration of the recruitment period, but that is their fee for that length. So in other words, typically if the target date passes, we just reach out to them to say, after the target date, pull the ad. So you essentially have to pay for a little bit more than you are getting in terms of exposure.
Okay. Because I was just noticing on a couple of them, you have 90-day ads, 60-day ads, 60-day ads. Is it going to be listed in these ads that that the application process discontinues or stops, hard stop on that March 10th?
No, it's a target date. So the language everywhere will be consistent. Target date for applications, March 10, position open until filled. Candidates really know that they need to submit on or before that target date for priority consideration.
Is that an assumption, or do they actually know that?
They know it.
That's okay. Sounds like an assumption. Hopefully they do know that. Thank you.
If you know anybody, make sure they get it in by the 10th of March.
We've just had other presidential searches that applicants did not submit their application until the very end, and they tried to circumvent the whole application process. And so I want to make sure that this is documented, that if an applicant, that their materials, that they're submitted after the hard shutdown date, that their materials will not be received or reviewed. I just want to make sure that's itemized or documented here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we have another comment from Regent Boylan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, Regent Arascada made a great point that just struck me. So we haven't even started advertising for this position, and then within a month we're going to end the advertising. That's really strange to me, because within a month we're expecting to fill such an important position in NSHE, the president of the college, and we're giving it less than or maybe a month, because we haven't even got the advertising information yet and what that's going to be like. So that point he made is something to consider. I'm not on the committee, ma'am, and I appreciate your giving me the time to speak, but I don't know. This doesn't seem right to me. Can the search committee, if the search consultants, maybe explain that to me or someone else? It's a really short period, right?
Go ahead.
At once, I'm just wondering.
This indeed gives us ample time to recruit a strong candidate pool. Word is already out. It is on our website as planning stages. We've received calls already from candidates saying, let me know when the profile is finalized. So recruitment essentially has started. We have not started receiving applications, but prospective candidates are on high alert. So one, the work has begun, but if we do not believe that there is the right candidate pool, if it's not strong, if it's not diverse, if there aren't A-list candidates that address and are tailored to your profile, we reach out to the chair and say, you know what, we need to rework this timeline. We don't have the right mix. We need more time.
Thank you, Ms. Golder, but I have an issue with that because in 1 month's time, we'll have to pay more for advertising. I'm really sensitive to taxpayers' money just being spent willy-nilly. So 1 month we advertise. How much are we paying for the advertising? Just curious. For 1 month? Do you have it right up there? If not, don't worry.
It's in the supplemental material.
Okay.
It's there in the material.
Okay.
Regent, I think Regent Brown has a question too. Thank you.
I haven't finished yet, Regent Brown. Regent Brown, hang on. I've still got the floor. Thank you. You are so kind. But so in 1 month of advertising, well, you're saying it's already started the recruiting, even though we haven't started advertising. Is that so, Ms. Dolan?
Yes. The word is out.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Madam Chair. Go ahead, Regent Brown.
Oh, thank you.
Brown.
You're finished? Thank you. I'll call on Regent Brown now.
Regent Brown, for the record, I wanted to address Regent Boylan and give you a little bit of situational awareness for the other two searches that are taking place simultaneously. I'm the chair of the CSN search, and the allotment of time that we put was similar to this. It was just about 4.5 to 5 weeks. We received 54 candidates within the 5-week time period, and we got 4 additional candidates after the soft deadline, which I have accepted as the chair. And so we had 59 applicants that we moved forward or that submitted, and of which we are now going through the A's and the B's, or I'm sorry, the A pluses and the A rankings, which is 37 applicants. So I do think that this timeline is similar to the other two searches that we're doing, and I have all the confidence that ACCT, having done over 500 searches, also understands that. So it does feel fast, but I also think that, from what it's been explained to me, that the best candidates will get picked up by other schools, and so we want to make sure that we have the best candidate for this school, and we have the best pool. So to do it fast is imperative because of the timelines, and they have to sunset their current contracts and et cetera. So just wanted to give a little bit of situational awareness for you.
Thank you so much, Regent Brown. I like situational awareness. So that really sounds helpful and good. That's really good. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And to, I know this is our student, right? I don't remember your name. I'm sorry.
You're okay. For the records, Emery Betray. I just have a general question. So, considering that we made a lot of comments today, will you guys still have enough time to revise everything and get everything approved? Because I understand that on tomorrow, on the agenda, you guys said that the position would be open and advertised. So regarding the, what's it called?
Julie and I will have a draft tonight that we will get to the chair, who will send it out to you. You will need to respond very quickly if you have any suggestions, and there will be whatever deadline you put. And then as soon as we get that back, it'll be posted. Okay?
Thank you.
And I said that at the very beginning of this meeting, how quickly they have done their work. I mean, they've just turned things over really fast, and that's not always the case with other consultants. And I will say that I am scheduled to be on the plane to go to D.C. at 6:15. And I don't arrive until 6:05, so there'll be a little lag right there if my plane goes. Go ahead, Edward.
Edward S. Pona, for the record. So I'm not quite sure how this works in comparison to the private sector, so it's a little bit this. So for Regent Ashkada, the question specifically about some of these postings being later,
I know with us, you know, historically, we just leave it out there. And it's there because if we don't get good candidates, we somehow keep getting some potentially down the line. So that, and a lot of these, if that's the media plan in itself, that is the agreement with the media company that is what they want, that 60 days is their minimum, we have no choice but to have that. But specifically tying to the whether 4 weeks is enough, I have found oftentimes within 2.5 weeks when we put out a job, your best candidates are there, and your leftovers usually are not the greatest after that. So that's just a heads up. That's just my own comment on that. Thank you.
And thank you for your perspective on that. And I would say, having been in this business now for going on 9 years, I find that those that are looking for a job really do read the Chronicle Higher Education. I mean, that's our Bible in our industry. And as regents, we subscribe to it through ENCHI. And it's all about where the job openings are, not just for presidents, provosts, academic deans. I mean, there's the whole gamut of any position. And any one time, I'm going to say there's around 25,000 positions open all over the country and the world. So I have full confidence in our consultants. That's why we do a competitive process. That's why we narrowed the, we had 14 that responded to our RFP, and then we narrowed it down to 3. And then this committee picked our consultant here. And so I will also say that's why we don't rely on our HR departments to do this work. It's impossible. They can't do this. They're not the specialists. They are in a lot of other areas. I can't imagine how many more people we would need for all the searches that are done on all of our campuses. They have their ear to the ground. They're all over the country. And this is not the only search you're doing. They're doing other searches. So they really do know where the candidates are. And they know, I know one of our former presidents that retired, she was recruited because the consultant knew her background, et cetera, and it was a perfect fit for the campus. So I have full faith in them finding us the best candidate. And it's either going to be, it could be someone locally, it could be someone somewhere else in the state, it could be somebody nationally. But we're throwing out a wide net with all of your input and approval of the profile, advertising plan, and then it's going to be fun come May when we have our candidates. Regent Brown, one more thing?
I'd like to make a motion.
Great.
To direct the consultants to revise the plan based on comments received at the meeting with final review and approval by the search chair.
Thank you. And with a second from one of the members?
Second.
Thank you, Regent Arascada. Is there any, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, I'll just do a voice vote on this one. All in favor of the advertising plan as presented?
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much on that one. And with that, we'll go to item number 6, which is new business. Do we have any new business? I got one person coming forward. Nope, she's getting coffee. Okay, okay. I don't see any new business. So with that, we will go to public comment. Is there any public comment here at TMCC? Nobody's coming forward. Okay. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no callers, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. And before we adjourn for today, I just want to thank SCS for their always fine service. That's our systems computing services that is not only to ENCHI but to many, many state agencies. And to our staff, our Chief of Staff, Carrie, Angela, who's with us today, Winter, and especially TMCC for your fine hospitality and your buffet. And make sure you get a nice breakfast brunch before you leave. And without any further ado, this was a great meeting, and we're I had a schedule, and I do appreciate that. You got a little more time in your day. So with that, we'll adjourn today's meeting. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.